2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, November 12, 2014. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. Chet, we've got a lot of Eagles to talk about this week. The big blowout win over the Panthers on Monday night, the debut of Mark Sanchez, the play of the defense. And what can you say about Darren Sproles? And oh, by the way, just in case you didn't know, the Birds are headed to Green Bay to meet Aaron Rodgers on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field this week. The Birds are six-point underdogs. The high is supposed to be 30 degrees with a low of 12 in Green Bay on Sunday.
I will be in my basement watching the big screen, so I'll be fine. The basement's heated. And that six-point line, Bill, sounds about right. You know, it's in Green Bay. The Packers, like the Eagles, are a hot team. They have Aaron Rodgers. But, hey, this show right here, this is always fun, but even more so after a no-doubt-about-it Eagles victory. And as you said, there is a whole lot to discuss tonight.
Well, before we get to our special guest who's making his debut on the Philly Press Box Roundtable, Advanced Media and NJ.com writer Elliot Shore Parks will be joining us. We'd like to thank Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, who has donated an 8x10 photo autographed by former Eagles running back and present Eagles running back coach Deuce Staley to the first person that can call in and answer our Eagles trivia question. This one's an easy one tonight, Chet, but we'll get to that to the second half of our show. Mm-hmm. Our shopforkisses.org phone lines will be open at 929-477-2855, so feel free to give us a call. Please note that we won't be taking calls while Elliot is with us, so we can talk Eagles with him or other Philly sports as well as long as we can. This is the same number, though, 929-477-2855, to call to answer the question and win the signed 8x10 of Deuce Daly, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. Elliot, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Elliot. Hey, this is Chet. And first off, we have a lot to discuss, but we've seen all of seven quarters of Mark Sanchez at quarterback for the Birds in the regular season, guiding the team to two wins. What is your assessment of him so far?
Well, I think the thing that really sticks out about Sanchez to me is how fundamentally strong he is, which is kind of crazy if you consider what his reputation in New York was in terms of turning the ball over and making sloppy plays. But he did a great job against the Panthers on Monday of navigating the pocket, resetting himself, and making the throw. And what you saw was a couple really nice touch throws, which is something Foles has struggled with this season. Not so much last season, but I think the reason Foles fell back this year was because of his mechanics. And so seeing Sanchez in there, as you mentioned, it's only been seven quarters, but he's seemed far more fundamentally strong than Foles has been.
How different, if at all, is the offense with Sanchez compared to Nick Foles?
You know, I don't think it's much different in terms of the play call. I just think you're seeing it run a little smoother. And, you know, they scored 31 points on Monday, and Chip said himself he didn't think they played that well. So as smooth as I thought they looked, there's some things they could have done better. I mean, they were 5-for-15 on third down. They didn't do a great job running the ball. But I don't think they're calling anything different with Sanchez in there as opposed to with Foles.
Hey, you wrote a story today, Ellie, about Aaron Rodgers, noting how the Packers star last year suffered a very similar injury to what happened to Foles. And Rodgers even has some advice for Foles, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah. He said you got to be patient, which, you know, it's probably a lot easier for Rodgers, knowing when he was to come back from his injury, his job was definitely going to be there. For Foles, I'd imagine a little more antsy, or at least you would think. I mean, the public perception, and, you know, from everybody I've talked to, is that the Eagles are not completely sold on Foles coming back and, you know, being the guy in the long term. So Sanchez plays well, who knows what's going to happen. So if you're Foles, I can't imagine you're going to take Rodgers' advice, which is to be patient and to slowly come back. And I think the fact that he didn't have surgery kind of indicates that, because with surgery, you're looking at like a 7 or 8 week timetable, right? And so without having surgery, you're just kind of at the mercy of your body and hoping, you know, it could be 2 weeks, it could be 3 weeks, it could be 4 weeks. And by electing not to have surgery, I think he's hoping that he can be back on the field a little sooner than people expect.
Hey, Elliot, this is Bill. In your assessment of the game, you know, I kind of agree with Chip Kelly a little bit as far as the offense, but the defense and special teams, you know, basically spotted the offense 17 points to get the game going. Was your take that my take was the Carolina was just completely confused in all phases of the game and that the Eagles just took advantage of that. Do you feel like the Eagles were that good or that Carolina was just that bad?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Carolina is just that bad. I mean, they have no real weapons on offense. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin has been okay, but I think he's more a product of nobody else being around him than he is, you know, actually dominating the game. Cam Newton, you know, there's reports or conflicting reports on how healthy he is. He didn't play well at all. So I just think the Panthers are, you know, are not a good team. Their defense isn't what it was last year. I believe they're, you know, in the 20s in a lot of major defensive statistical categories. So the Panthers are not very good. I think the Eagles, you know, were they as good as a 45-21 win? I mean, I think so because the defense has played well and really to that level throughout a lot of the season. You know, they haven't, you know, obviously 9 sacks is a bit extreme, but they've always done a good job getting pressure on the quarterback. And the special teams have made plays throughout the season. So I don't think those are anomalies by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. The offense wasn't great, but, you know, 30 points isn't even a ton for this offense. So I think the Eagles did play a really good, solid game. And when you combine that with the really bad Panthers team, you know, that you're going to get the blowout that you saw.
Hey, Elliot, going back to, say, July or August, going into the season, what were your expectations for this Eagles team? Did you expect them to be 7-2 at this point? Did you expect the defense to be playing as well as it is?
You know, when I sat down and did my predictions for the season, I predicted they wouldn't win a playoff game this year simply because I thought that the health that they were lucky to have last season in terms of all their offensive linemen playing healthy. And, you know, you look at Nick Foles, how well he played, you figure there was going to be some regression there. And just in general, it seemed like everything went right for them last year, and they still only won 10 games. So I wasn't too high on them coming into the year simply for that. But I think what you've seen is just Chip Kelly is that good of a coach. I mean, you look at everything he's weathered, right? The offensive line has had a ton of issues. You can debate how good Foles has been playing, but he's lost his starting quarterback. He's lost his middle linebacker. You know, McCoy is having one of the worst years of his career, and they're still 7-2. So they're kind of like – it almost makes no sense that they're 7-2. I think it's just a credit to Chip Kelly how good they've been because had you said before the season all these things would have happened, you know, I don't think you would have been – you would have never guessed they had 7 wins.
I guess you answered my question right there. I was going to say how the heck are they doing this because, yeah, it did come true. The offensive line didn't stay healthy. You knew they weren't going to stay healthy like they did last year, so they've had a rash of injuries there. Then they lose, you know, Kendricks for a while and then Ryan's. Foles, of course, has been – very inconsistent this year, certainly compared to last year. He's been subpar, and yet they are, as we say, 7-2. So is it just Chip Kelly? Is it, you know, the coaching staff in general? Is it the addition of Sproles or, I guess, just a combination of everything?
You know, I think it's, on one hand, it's stellar special teams and defense and you know, play on defense. I mean, the special teams have carried the team in a lot of games this year. But I also think it is Chip Kelly. I mean, the Eagles have a coaching advantage almost every time they step on the field. So I think he's done a good job weathering the storm. The team believes in him, and it helps them not to, you know, get panicked or, you know, kind of lose their focus when things go badly. I think it is just kind of as simple as Chip and the special teams upgrades.
You know, I haven't been a real backer of the defense coming into the season, obviously. But each week they keep getting better and better and better. And I posted this a little bit earlier, or actually on Tuesday morning. I think that this is by far the best effort that Bill Davis and that group have put together since he's been here. Just, I thought they were just lights out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's kind of a perception out there that they're not, you know, like they're not a good defense, right? Or coming into the year, you would have said they're the weak point of the defense. I mean, sorry, of the team, but that's kind of not true. I mean, they did a good job getting after the quarterback last year. The secondary was a problem, but, I mean, you know, it was a problem. There's no denying that. But they upgraded it with Malcolm Jenkins. And this year they've just really only improved. I mean, they don't allow a ton of points. I think they're averaging like 14 points a game over the last month, which, you know, obviously, especially in today's offensive-driven NFL, is really, really good. And they disrupt the quarterback. Going into Monday's game, they were disrupting the quarterback's drop back on 34% of the time he drops back. And that percentage, you know, probably skyrocketed. I'd have to look it up, but that percentage skyrocketed after Monday. So the defense has played really well, and another reason they're 7-2.
All right. Now, we have the Packers, of course, this week. They are not the Panthers. The game is at Lambeau Field. How big a test is this week's game, and what do the Eagles have to do to pull off the upset?
You know, going into, if you remember early in the season, the Eagles were 3-1. They were going into their Sunday night matchup with the Giants. And I remember at that time saying this was a test game for them because they were 3-1, but it was a shaky 3-1. They barely beat the Jaguars. You know, they lost to the 49ers. They had a win over the Colts that almost didn't happen. And I thought if you win that game, to me, that was like you're legit. You're going to be a good team this year. And they did that. I think this Sunday is the same type of deal. If they can go into Lambeau on Sunday and beat the Packers, I don't see how you look at any team in the NFC as having a better chance to get to the Super Bowl than they do, simply because Carson Palmer's out now. I think the Lions, yes, they have the same record. Oh, I'm sorry. But, you know, I personally don't think the Lions are as good. So if they can go into Lambeau and win, I think they officially stamp their mark as the best team in the NFC. That being said, you know, you said it. How are they going to do that? I mean, this is going to be a very tough game. Aaron Rodgers is playing lights out, which is, you know, is not good news for the Eagles secondary, which, despite the defense playing well, is still kind of a concern. And, you know, Mark Sanchez has played well for 7 quarters, but, you know, going into Lambeau and winning is a whole different beast. I mean, Sanchez has played in some tough games, big profile games in his career, but not in a long time. I mean, it's been almost 4 years since he's played in a meaningful football game. So it's going to be very tough. Right now, if I had to pick, I'm not sure which way I would go. But the Eagles go out and win on Sunday. I think this would be one of the best wins in the Chip Kelly regime since he's got here.
Hey, we had your colleague Mark Eckel on last week, and Mark said that a key to beating the Packers will be to run the ball. I mean, we said that against the Panthers, too, and that didn't happen. But he said the Packers' run defense is really pretty bad. So maybe this will be the week that Shady has a huge game, and that's going to be the key to victory. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, it seems like we say that every week, though, right? I mean, will be week 11, and he's only had 2 games over 100 yards, I believe. So, you know, I think there's some reason to be concerned about the run game and about McCoy because, you know, this isn't week 3 anymore. It's not week 4. It's, you know, this is pretty late into the season, and he still really hasn't gotten it going. I mean, I would have to double-check this, but, you know, I don't think he has maybe over 5 runs all year of over 20 yards. So he hasn't been the explosive player that he was last season. So I think, you know, to say that they're going to just go into Lambeau in a playoff-type atmosphere and run the ball might be a bit optimistic.
Well, Elliot, I wanted to ask you. I think, you know, obviously Darren Sproles, in my mind, is the MVP of the team thus far. But I think, and John Gruden said this during the game the other night, this is the last punt that this guy's going to see. You know, the special teams points, unless they block kicks, I think we've seen pretty much the last of this. So that's one phase of the game that, you know, they've been scoring a lot on. They're not going to score anymore. Can they weather that and get more points on offense?
Yeah. Well, you know, to your comment about Sproles being the MVP, I think in the early part of the season I would have agreed with you. But looking at, all their games, I think you can make a strong case that it's been Macklin. I mean, he had the game-winning touchdown against the Colts. He had the game-clinching touchdown against the Texans, and he had the game-winning touchdown against the Redskins as well. So he's been doing a really good job carrying them, especially when Foles has been pretty, you know, inaccurate. So I think you can make a case Macklin's been the MVP, and, you know, the defense haven't been able to stop him yet. As far as Sproles, I think a lot of teams always say they're not going to kick to him, but, you know, somehow that always ends up happening. You just ask the Giants about trying to kick away from DeSean Jackson. So, You're not gonna make the Super Bowl on returning punts. That's just, you know, not a realistic way, but it can certainly help. And I wouldn't be surprised if these Sproles, you know, break another long one this year.
Hey, we mentioned Aaron Rodgers and how good he is. quarterbacking the Packers. On the other side of the ball, the guy in the spotlight is Clay Matthews, a college teammate of Mark Sanchez, by the way. And as Chip said, one issue right now is that you just don't know where Matthews is going to line up. So how are they going to, you know, combat Clay Matthews?
I guess they're just going to cross their fingers because, I mean, there's really, you know, if he's on the top of his game, there's not much he are going to be able to do, especially with, the, you know, the offensive line is getting healthy. But they did a good job pass protecting last week, but the Panthers – pass rush is nothing close to what the Green Bay Packers, the Panthers pass rush is nothing close to the Packers. And you also look at what happened when the Texans pass rush 2 weeks ago did. I mean, they knocked Foles out for maybe the season, and they were all over Sanchez as well. So it's going to be pretty tough for them to combat Clay Matthews. But, you know, one advantage is you are going to have a veteran quarterback in there who's seen a lot and is going to be able to, you know, hopefully spotlight him. And you have Jason Kelce back. So, you know, you do have a good combination of people that are able to get the job done, but I think it's going to be a very tough matchup for this offensive line.
I have another question for you on the defensive side of the ball. What was your take on Casey Matthews?
Oh, last week. I mean, you know, I thought Casey Matthews played pretty well to start. There was one play on the goal line where he had a chance to bring down, I believe it was Jonathan Stewart. You know, he had right, you know, he's right there. It was just him and Stewart, and he hit him too low, and Stewart was able to get him to the end zone. But, you know, I know people point to the long pass he gave up to Olsen, but I'm not so sure D'Amico Ryan could have stopped that either. I think Casey Matthews, you know, he did his job, and the Panthers only scored, you know, I know they scored 21, but two of those were garbage time. So, I mean, the entire defense played pretty well. So at least you can say is Casey Matthews didn't hurt him. I think he's played pretty well. This will be a much bigger test for him, obviously, with a facing a better offense that, if they want to, could, you know, exploit him more than the Panthers are capable of doing.
Yeah, I thought he actually played pretty well myself. I think that long pass you're talking about, I think that's probably the best ball that Cam Newton threw all night, and he really had pretty decent coverage on him. The ball was just in the only spot it could be a reception, but I thought overall, I thought he played pretty good.
Yeah, I think fans still have images of Brandon Jacobs running down the sideline on a wheel route with Casey Matthews trailing him. So, you know, I mean, I think sometimes people get perceptions of a player, and it's hard for that player to break out of it. But, you know, Casey Matthews, he did decent last year. He did good on Monday night. He doesn't play a ton. So, you know, it's not like he's been in there killing the Eagles defense for years. But I think he stepped in and did a pretty good job.
All right, so it's going to be a great game Sunday, the Eagles and Packers at Lambeau, 4:25. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I just have this feeling the Eagles are going to pull this one off, and I'm usually a pessimistic guy, but I have a feeling they're going to somehow find a way to win this one. I hope I'm right anyway. Hey,
you know,
one other
thing
question.
About that is, you look at Chip Kelly, you know, 13-3 in his last 16 games. He's won in the snow. He's won on the road. He's won with, you know, Sanchez. He's won with Foles. So, I mean, to a certain point, you just have to say the Eagles have a chance to win every game, and they should almost be expected to. You know, the Eagles losing is far less common than it is them winning. So, you know, even if it, you know, makes no sense, if you think, you know, they have the better quarterback, they have the better offensive line, you know, they have a better pass rush, which maybe isn't true. But, you know, the Eagles have found a way to win these games. So it wouldn't shock me at all if they won on Sunday.
And I love getting the free Dunkin' Donuts coffee the next day after an Eagles win. So that's an added bonus.
There you go.
You know? Hey, you mentioned DeSean Jackson, Elliot, a couple of minutes ago, and correct me if I'm wrong, did you break the story about his alleged gang ties last spring possibly leading to his release?
Yes, that was me that wrote the story about the Eagles' concern with some of the off-the-field issues surrounding DeSean.
Is that the real reason you think that he's gone, or was it just that, you know, he and Chip didn't get along, or he wasn't Chip's kind of guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been pretty well documented that DeSean isn't here anymore because he didn't fit into the culture the Eagles were building. And, you know, that had a lot of layers to it. One of the layers is certainly what I wrote, which was how he carried himself off the field. You know, the people he hung out with, the type of things he was involved with. And, you know, another layer to that was within the NovaCare. I mean, I don't think him and Chip got along. You know, that's what I've been told. And it's hard to build a team where you have a player like DeSean, who would have been your highest paid player on the roster this year, not buying into what you're doing. So I think, you know, with any decision like that, there's a lot of layers. But certainly, as I wrote, you know, the off-the-field concerns were definitely there.
All right. Hey, switching gears for a second. I know you cover all the Philly teams. Baseball winter meetings are underway. In fact, they wrap up tomorrow. I don't think the Phillies are going to do anything right here, but they're trying to lay the groundwork. What do you see happening? Are they going to completely clean house, or at least try to? Or how different is this Phillies team going to look next year?
Well, I see a lot of losses. I know that much.
Yeah.
Not a lot of fans in the stands. But, I mean, I don't know how much you can really do. You know, I'm personally not a supporter of just giving Ryan Howard away. You know, I'm not in that locker room as much, so I can't speak to, you know, whether he is a detriment to, you know, to the younger players. But if you're just going to give him away, I would rather keep him. You're going to be paying him anyway. I know he's not the player he used to be, but I don't see how he would hurt the team, you know, in various ways. So then you have Cole Hamels, and I'm not sure you're going to get value back. And the other problem is this the guy you want making those trades? I mean, you know, Ruben Amaro Jr. tried to clean house 2 years ago when he traded Shane Victorino and Hunter Pence, and neither of those trades worked out for the Phillies. So, you know, Cole Hamels is an actual asset. I mean, Hunter Pence was, you know, kind of an asset. Shane Victorino is a nice player, but Cole Hamels is a real deal. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in the game. So if you're going to have Ruben Amaro Jr. trying to do this fire sale, I'd be kind of worried about that. And from that regard, I'd almost be better off, you know, I think they're better off just coming back another year with this team, trying to add some pieces, or just firing Ruben Amaro Jr. But I don't think you can let Ruben Amaro Jr. oversee a fire sale, given his history of trades.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, you know, I saw a piece that talked about the Phils wanting to needing to change the clubhouse culture, and you mentioned you kind of touched on that just a little bit, but can you really do that if you have, well, even if you move Howard, say, but you still have Rollins and Utley and Ruiz just for a few? I mean, can you change the culture, or do you just need to clean them all out?
You know, I'm around the Eagles a lot more than I am the Phillies, so the only thing that I could say about that is I've been with the Eagles and, you know, through Andy Reid and then into Chip, and I've seen the difference that a culture can make with a team. And sometimes it doesn't have to be a player. You know, it doesn't have to be getting rid of certain players. I mean, obviously the Eagles got rid of guys like Jason Babbitt and Nnamdi Asamoah and, you know, DRC, guys who didn't fit the, and Deshaun, you know, didn't fit their culture. But I think the Phillies need, you know, one, I personally am not sold on the manager. I think they just need a complete cultural overchange. And, you know, maybe that does mean getting rid of the older guys, but you also just don't want to give them away just to give them away. So I think the Phillies are in a very tough spot right now. And just figuring out what direction, you know, they want to go.
Very interesting. I think these winter meet. Well, it's not going to be in the winter meetings, but I think it's going to be happening here pretty soon. Is you know, it's almost Christmas time before we know it, and it'll be February before long. And these trades or whatever's going to happen has to happen pretty quick.
Yeah, and I mean, well, I think the Phillies have reached a point where it's going to be pretty tough for them to sell this to the fan base again. I think we saw that last year with the attendance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, hey, Elliot, since you're our guest, we do something with all of our guests, so you're not the first, but it's your first time at it. We do something that's called the Rapid Fire Hot Seat. And what happens is Chet will explain it to you, but he runs this little segment, and it's usually a lot of fun, and we hope you enjoy it, and don't sweat too bad like your buddy Mark Eckel did.
All right, no problem.
All right,
last week, thanks, Bill. All right, last week we made history with Mark Eckel becoming our first three-time visitor to the Rapid Fire Hot Seat. This week, a colleague of Mark's is making his debut appearance in the hot seat, where he'll field about a dozen questions over the next few minutes. Elliot Shore Parks, keep your answers brief, and here we go. The Eagles are 7-2, but have some pretty tough games coming up over the next month. How is this season and postseason likely to play out?
I think the Eagles will finish with, you know, 12-4. They'll get a first-round bye, and I think you'll see them playing in the NFC Championship game, and whether or not they win, you know, that we'll see.
All right. Now, as I said earlier, we've seen Mark Sanchez for a mere 1 3/4 regular season games, and, of course, it's all going to depend on what happens between now and February, but who do you, Elliot, think will be the Birds' starting quarterback when the 2015 season begins?
That's a tough one, but the, you know, the rapid fire, I guess I would say Foles, just because I think Sanchez, you know, he is a free agent. I don't know if they want to commit big money to him, and I don't think they're ready to go to a rookie. So I think right now the favorite in the clubhouse would have to be Foles.
All right. If the Eagles aren't in Arizona for the Super Bowl 2.5 months from now, which birds are most likely going to be playing in the Pro Bowl this winter?
I think Jeremy Maclin has a really good chance. He'd have to be considered almost a lock at this point. Darren Sproles is a special team player. And I think Eagles are going to get Connor Barwin there with defense.
And maybe Jason Peters, just on reputation, if anything, you know?
Yeah, he's a decent shot as well.
All right. Hey, speaking of Arizona, does Carson Palmer's season-ending injury eliminate the Cardinals as a serious Super Bowl contender?
Well, my colleague Mark Eckel is pretty sold on Drew Stanton, but I'm personally not. I don't think they were, honestly, a real Super Bowl contender to begin with. And without Palmer, I definitely don't think they are.
All right. Now, he had a breakout game Monday night. How good is rookie Jordan Matthews going to become?
I think he can be really good. In training camp, he dominated. I like his size. I like his speed. I like his work ethic. I think he could be one of the better receivers in the league by the time everything's said and done.
All right. There are, I believe, 4 NFL rookie quarterbacks starting right now: Carr, Bridgewater, Bortles, Mettenberger, and a few others, including Johnny Manziel, currently serving as backups. Will any one of this rookie crop be stars down the road?
You know, I'm still a money Manziel guy. I think he does have what it takes. I think he's a playmaker, and I'd like to see him in there with the Browns to see what he could do. I think that would be the best bet for me.
Hey, who looks more like he should be living in a cabin in the mountains, Jason Kelce or Jason Wirth?
That's a tough one. You know, from knowing Jason Kelce a little bit, I think he'd probably be better off. Jason Wirth, we all know, likes the money, so I don't know how he would be out there in the woods.
Which Eagle has been the biggest surprise this season?
You know, I'm going to go with Cody Parkey, undrafted kicker, free agent. Think of where they'd be without him. I mean, you talk about the special teams, and just in general, they're consistently – making the other team start at the 20, they have to drive long. He made some pretty big kicks. I'm going to go with Cody Parkey.
Baseball's winter meetings are underway, as we said. The Phillies shopping just about everybody in the roster. What do you think? Will Cole Hamels be dealt or not?
I don't think he will. I don't think they're going to like what's out there, and I think they're going to be afraid to pull the trigger given the history of deals not working out.
You cover the 76ers, too, Elliot. How many wins for the Sixers this season, and will they be a playoff team in 2016-17?
2016-17, that's 2 seasons from now. I think they will be. I do think they'll be a playoff team by then. This year, though, definitely not a playoff team. I'm looking at maybe 17 wins.
Boy, if they get 17, I'll be surprised. The Flyers have played some.
Once MCW comes back, they'll be okay.
Yeah, that's true. MCW and Nerlens together tomorrow night. The Flyers have played some better hockey of late. Steve Mason's getting back into form. Jake Voracek's been hot. What is the outlook for the Orange and Black this season?
You know, I'm not a huge hockey guy, but I will say I've seen this team enough to know that they'll probably get hot towards the end of the year, make the playoffs, and then suffer an early round playoff exit.
Yeah, great minds think alike. I say the exact same thing. Now, Mark Sanchez sampled a couple of them the other night. What do you say, Elliot? The best cheesesteak place in Philly?
You know, I'm going to go D'Alessandro's on Henry Ave. I like them a lot, local, right around where I live, so I'm going to go D'Alessandro's.
I like Tony Luke's and Jim's.
Both
now,
good.
You mentioned
Can't
Mark Eckel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your pal and ours, Mr. Eckel, has been covering the Eagles since before you were born, Elliot. Have you learned anything from that old pro?
Oh, what is there to learn from Mark? No, I'm just kidding. Of course, I think Mark's made me a bit more of a pessimist, maybe. I'd say that after covering the team for so long. But, working with Mark is awesome every day. And, he knows more about football. He forgot more about football than I know. So I'm definitely happy to work with him every day.
As a follow-up, does Mark ever tell you about the good old days when Buddy Ryan was on the Eagles sideline, people bought and read actual newspapers, and reporters used typewriters and didn't have smartphones or the Internet?
Yeah, I don't even think I can comprehend that. So he definitely drops references sometimes that are a little over my head. I'm teaching him about Twitter, though, so, it's
there
a
you
give
go.
And a take.
Yeah. Finally, Elliot, most of the very best sports movies, Rocky, Raging Bull, Hoosiers, Slapshot, North Dallas 40, The Natural, were made before you were born, damn you. So what is the best sports movie of your lifetime?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go Remember the Titans. Denzel Washington, just a good movie. But if we want to go a little more cheesy, I was always a fan of the Mighty Ducks. That was a good one. And, of course, The Sandlot, classic. So those are some of the ones I watched growing up.
All right. you have learned a lot from Mark Eichel, including how to survive the rapid-fire hot seat. Way to go, Elliot.
Anytime. It was good, you know, enjoyable.
You're not sweating or anything? You're going to be okay?
Yeah, I learned from Mark, so, you know, I'm good to go.
All right.
Hey, this
is
a lot of fun, man.
I think we've taken up all your time, and but we sure appreciate you coming on with us and hope that we can do it again sometime soon.
Yep, anytime, guys. I enjoyed it.
All right.
Thank you, Elliot.
Well, we'd like to thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, Chet, let's get to the Eagles trivia question for the second half of our show to win the Deuce Daily autographed 8x10 courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. So here we go. On this day, November 12th, in 1979, I kicked a 59-yard field goal that still stands to this day as the longest in franchise history. Who am I? Just a reminder, the ShopForKisses.org phone lines are open at 929-477-2855, so feel free to call throughout the remainder of the show. This is also the same number to call to answer the trivia question, so write it down, 929-477-2855. All opinions are welcome, but please be respectful to other people's opinions. Well, Chet, before we get started again, we have a caller that's been patiently waiting. So let's bring him in and see who we have. Hello, this is Bill and Chet.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing? Glad to talk to you again. Yes, in a few weeks. I love the pregame warm-up on Facebook. That was great. Listen, let's look at something straight here, Mr. Chesko. Mark Eichel started with a chisel and a slap, and I was there to see it, okay? So there wasn't any typewriters involved, all right?
All right.
So let's get the facts out there straight, all right? I'll take a stab at that trivia question to throw it at you, but I may be wrong to that point, but I'm thinking Tony Franklin.
Tony Franklin it is.
We got to give Mark a prize. Are you kidding me?
No, listen. I'd like to do, if it's okay for you guys, all right, if there's a way of working this out, that somebody would like to throw a bid in for this picture, okay, and then split the profits with the kidney and Angry Frank's homeless scenario charity. I'd like that to happen. If you could do that.
Well, we'll toss it out here and see if we can make something work on the fly.
Okay, that would be great. I'd like to have something like that happen because I respect both organizations, you know, to that point. And the only reason I got that right is because I was there to see it, okay? I had season tickets from 76 to 83 in Romeo years in the 7th and 10th section of the bet. That's what I was pretty sure it was Franklin, but I wanted to, I'm glad it works out. So everybody,
you might have saw a 58 yarder, but that 59 yarder was in Texas Stadium on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
With Roger Staubach going down to the birds, 31-21.
Okay.
How about that?
I wasn't 100% sure, but I did see him pick a 50-some yarder at the vet, you know, at that point.
Yeah, I believe he kicked a 58-yarder and then broke it with a 59-yarder. And incidentally, in that game, he kicked 4 field goals and missed 3 of them. The only one he made is the 59-yarder that still stands.
He had a heck of a leg. I'll tell you that.
He did.
He did have a heck of a leg. I know that much. Some things stand out and some things don't. You know, at my age, I just lucky I know my name in the morning. Anyway, listen, I real quick about a couple things since I had a chance to wrap with you guys in a couple weeks. What a wonderful year we're having for football. Really, the Eagles. Like I said, they're just entertaining week after week after week. But this is the game that I waited for all year because I think, to be honest with you, this is, I think, our first real test, okay? You can say what you want maybe about the San Francisco game and the Indianapolis game. Our offense didn't even play in the San Francisco game, and they still had a chance of winning that at the very end. And San Francisco, as they're getting better, but they weren't the real test that the hot team that Green Bay has been. And I think you're going to see now the first-rate Hall of Fame quarterback. And I'm anxious to see how Chip reacts to this at history in Lambeau Field with weather conditions that, well, we did have that one snowstorm last year, but the weather in Lambeau is a little bit worse than what we contend with, all right? So this is the barometer game, I think, for the whole season, whether we can play with the big boys yet or not. And I really say that. I haven't made my mind up yet. I'm still doing some research. But I agree with Elliot that if they are able to pull this one out, anything can happen this year. You can't say it can't, you know. And they're fun to watch. I remember the 60 Eagles season. They weren't expected to win that championship either. And there was a Cleveland Browns game that I remember my grandpa talking about all week, how big it was to win, and it was. So this may be in the same measuring stick. And they were all high-scoring games. Now, one other thing, the defense, guys, last year, if you can recall, last year in the second half, the defense started to rise to the occasion. They weren't expected to, but they were developing, and they were starting to gel. I think the biggest thing that the Eagles have this year, besides Kelly and a great coaching staff, is depth. It's the best special teams I've seen in 57 years, and Harbaugh's team was very, very good with Ike Reese, Dave Akers, and the gang with Andy Reid that went to the Super Bowl. But I had to give these guys a little bit of an edge. I agree with you, Bill. Without their roles, we're not talking a 7-2 record right now. But we're looking at what they played so far, the teams that they played so far. They're not of the caliber of Green Bay, and they're not of the caliber of a Seattle team that's coming up and a Dallas team with Thanksgiving. And so this is a measuring stick. And I really think this could catapult us onto much greater things in the future. Okay, that's enough about the birds. Now, to Jim, I'll throw you a question on baseball, and Bill, I'll throw you one on Penn State.
Okay.
Jim, we're into the trading season, okay? I do not see Howard coming back. I have to disagree with your guest. I see something being done. They're going to either have to eat salary, whatever. And, look, they hired the same coaching staff completely back. And I know Larry Bell personally. I mean, I always liked Larry. That coaching staff and the chemistry with some of these older veterans didn't work last year. I don't know if they're going to fire Ruben, you know, which I would think that that's probably the right move. But the coaching staff completely coming back, there had to be some kind of problem in that locker room. But they didn't get the thing moving with the older guys last year. And God knows, I love Utley, I love Rollins, I love all those guys. But, here's the other thing, too. Give me your thoughts about the chances realistically now of signing that Cuban outfielder, okay? They're the two questions you can mull on, okay? Bill,
all right.
We got a one, Bill, that Penn State Temple. How about that, huh? When did you ever think that? When did you ever think this would be a competitive game? I'm actually intrigued on Saturday, and there's a short story I'd like to tell you real quick. Penn State's head coach, Franklin, okay, he worked at General Motors at my Ben Salem plant back in 1996. He graduated from the Chamonix High School up here in Bucks County. And he was an intern with my son. I ended up training him for one summer. And we talked about this last summer before I retired, when he got hired from Vanderbilt. I knew for a fact that he had input with Kelly on Jordan Matthews. There was no doubt about it. There's none. And I will tell you, that was one of the smartest picks that Kelly did make, you know, at that point. Matthews, I mean, you see Benjamin and you see Beckham, some of these wide receivers really developing. But Jordan now has, you know, Macklin's had a great first half, but Jordan's really going to have a chance to go with Sanchez because he had the reps in preseason, he had the reps in practice. And there's a comfortable scenario there. I think he's just going to blossom in the second half. So now you're going to have a scenario, how are you going to double-team both of these guys? And you got to free up Cooper and Ertz sooner or later. So I'm expecting Cooper and Ertz, names that you don't talk about, they don't talk about, to have a big game pretty soon. It may be Tennessee, and it may be a Dallas game. I don't know, but that's something to throw out. But Bill, give me your thoughts on the Temple Penn State. How you think about that one? And I'm going to sign off now so that you guys can chew the fat. So, and another great show, and I always love getting a chance to interact with you guys. I appreciate that. And well, I'll see you back on Facebook, and we'll have some more laughter. All right, guys.
All right, thanks, Mark. And we'll work on your suggestion about the picture. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let me tackle the Phillies one first of all, Bill.
Yeah.
I do see them making some moves, not necessarily this week, but definitely over the winter. I mean, Ruben and Pat Gillick have pretty much indicated that they are shopping just about everybody. I do think they're going to move Ryan Howard. I don't know why they are so desperate to get him out of there, other than the money, of course, because they're going to have to eat the money anyway. I think the fact is they just want to change the scenery of the team that's lost, 92 games each of the last couple of years. I just think they want to get as many of those guys out of there as they possibly can. So I think they will trade Howard to an American League team. They were talking about Kansas City, but the Royals shot down that speculation today. But I do think he will end up somewhere in the American League as a designated hitter. There were some teams interested in Rollins, in Ben Revere. Marlon Byrd, according to Jim Salisbury, is a pretty hot commodity. So I think a couple of those guys will go, but I think that Chase Utley will stick around. I think the Phillies just want to keep him there as the guiding force and the guy who's going to finish his career as a Philly. As far as the Cuban outfielder, I don't know if they're going to get him, but the Phillies are apparently making a big push for him. They may even be willing to, you know, pay the $90 to $100 million that it'll take to get him. I mean, if the guy is the real deal, he's going to hit 30 to 40 home runs right away. They say he's a mediocre outfielder, but, hey, he would bring some excitement to the team at least and, you know, hopefully hit a few long balls along the way. So I think they're going to make a hard push for him. Are they going to get him? I'm going to say it's about a 40% chance right now, but, hey, it is a chance. So we shall see what happens. But, yeah, look for a lot of new faces out at Citizens Bank Park next year to watch the Phillies lose another 90-plus games.
Well, I agree with you. I think they're going to have to make a push for him or someone because they've got to put fans in the seats, just like they did. And I probably don't have my years quite right, but 2003, 2004, whenever that was, when they went and got Jim Thome, as maybe it was even earlier than that, as they were moving into Citizens Bank Park and they needed somebody to draw, and Thome was that guy. And I see them almost back in that same place as they were back then.
Yeah, these are desperate times, so they're going to have to get somebody in there. I mean, otherwise, that thing's going to be, like, really barren, the ballpark. I mean, it was pretty empty a lot of nights this past season, and it's going to be even worse next year. So they've certainly got some work to do. Ruben's not going to get fired over the winter, but I'll be shocked if he's back in 2016, to be honest, unless he pulls off some kind of miracle and, you know, maybe signs the Cuban guy and makes some other amazing trade and they win much more games than expected. But really, what are the odds of that?
Right, right. Well, and to Mark's question about the Penn State-Temple game, it is a little more intriguing this year than probably ever before or in a long time, because Temple is getting better, Penn State's struggling. The key to this game, I think, a couple keys. One is it's going to be very cold in Happy Valley, and two is neither team can run the ball. They both are over 100 ranked in rushing the football in the college rankings. So I think the team that doesn't turn the ball over is the team that's going to win the game, and it's probably going to be a close one. So we'll see. Matt Rhule's got that thing going on there in North Philly, and I'm real happy for Temple to be in the conversation with Penn State. Ultimately, I think Penn State's going to win the game, but I do think it'll be a battle that we haven't seen between those two in quite some time. So that's my
take
on that.
2 years ago, 2 years ago, Bill, they played each other in Philly, and it was a real close game. In fact, Temple probably should have won that one, but I think they had a key fumble or whatever. And, you know, Penn State managed to pull out a low-scoring game, and I think it's going to be another low-scoring game this year that Penn State wins. But, hey, we'll take it, you know, as a Penn Stater.
Yep. Well, hey, I have to tell you, Chet, I'm in a little bit of a situation for the Eagles game this week. I am going to be in Tempe, Arizona, watching my son Mike compete in the Ironman Arizona event on Sunday. And it's an all-day event, and it's the real Ironman. But you know what? There's an Eagles game going on Sunday. So my plan is to visit our friends at the Desert Eagles Nest in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is, I've already looked it up, it's 6 miles from the start-finish line of the of this race or this event. It's not a race, I guess. So hopefully I'm going to get to see the game. I will certainly, I've already got the DVR set up to record it before I leave tomorrow, but I'm a little bit of a dilemma on the details of Eagles-Packers on Sunday.
Wow. I'll tell you, I don't want to miss it. I mean, it's great that you're going to be there for your son, but, boy, I have got to see that game, and I can't wait for Sunday.
Yeah, I wish they'd have done a little better job of scheduling for me, don't you think?
Yeah, move it to a Sunday night or something, you know? Come on, they can flex these things.
That's right. Well, and actually, it's a two-hour time difference, so the 4:30 or 4:15 start is actually a 2:15 start out there, so We'll get it figured out, but don't know that I'm going to see every play, but I will have it recorded, and I will be ready to talk about it on Wednesday.
Hey, are you ready to make a prediction? I'm actually going to pick the Eagles in this one, which shocks me because I usually don't pick the Eagles when they're underdogs, but I just have this feeling they're going to somehow win, and I'm going to say, for now, 27-24 Eagles.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not ready to put a score on this thing yet, because I haven't thought all the way through it. But I'm going to pick the Eagles as well, and I'm probably leaning more towards I'm liking the way they're playing defense.
Who
thought I'd ever said that, right? I was not a fan. But
that's
I'm going to pick
the
Eagles, and I'm going to go with the defense.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later in the week for the official score, but I'm going Eagles to win. All right, well, let's shift gears while we have a few minutes, and let's talk Flyers. They've won 7 of their last 10 games. They've climbed up to 4th in the Metropolitan. They're 5-1-2 at home, which is great. They battled through early season injuries, especially on the defense, and they're still standing behind some pretty great play, especially from Jake Voracek, Claude Giroux, Ray Emery, and Steve Mason have both been good in the net. So, hey, what are you thinking?
Well, a couple of key things are happening. For one thing, as you mentioned, they're winning games at home. That's crucial for any team in the NHL. You want to make your home ice an intimidating place to play, just like the old Spectrum used to be back in the days, you know. And 5-1-2 at home is pretty impressive in a very tough NHL. So I like the fact that they're playing well at home. They're starting to score early a little more than they had been earlier in the season, which is good. Jake Voracek has been lights out. He's been on fire the last couple of weeks. That's good to see. As we discussed last week, I think he is going to have a really, really good season. But the key thing for me over the last week or two is the fact that Steve Mason has reestablished himself as the number one guy in the net. So that's the key. They got it all working right now. You know, it's a tough road ahead. There'll be a lot of road games coming up in the next month or so. But so far, so good for the Flyers. I know it's early, and I don't really get crazy about hockey till January or February, as we discussed previously. But so far, I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Fly guys.
Yep, and all the games count, whether they're played in October or played in March. So to be where they are is, and especially with such a slow start, to be where they are is a good place to be. The schedule is going to get better, and you know, some of the new guys are adapting. I like what I'm seeing too.
Yeah, they're starting to be fun to watch once again. It's a shame they've had some injuries on defense. Coburn back though. Hey, Scott Hartnell is going to be back in town, I guess, Friday when Columbus visits. So it'll be good to see Mr. Hartnell. I think it's in Philly, isn't it?
Yep.
I'm still not sure about that trade, but hey, what are you going to do? Good to see some familiar faces, though, back at least on the opponent's side.
Yep. Well, hey, let's jump over. We got just a couple minutes. Let's talk 76ers if we have to. 0-7, allowing 106 points per game, tied for worst in the Eastern Division. Michael Carter-Williams, as we mentioned earlier, is due back. Nerland Noel is due back. When's this team actually going to win their first game? They got Dallas, well, Houston, and San Antonio this week. They're not winning those games.
You know, it's funny. Last week when we were on the air, they were playing Orlando, and we said that might be the best chance to win a game before Thanksgiving. Ain't that the truth? That game, of course, ended up going right down to the wire. They lost on a buzzer beater. You know, they played Chicago real tough a couple of nights later, coming back, making it very, very close at the end. But the fact is they just don't have a lot of talent right now, and they're probably not going to win for another couple of weeks. The good news is after missing a couple of games with an ankle injury, Nerlens Noel will be back tomorrow night, as will Michael Carter-Williams, making his season debut. So I want to see MCW and Nerlens working together for the first time in a regular season game. Tony Roten's been, you know, pretty impressive. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from him. But the thing they've really got to do is to start clamping down defensively better. Giving up 106 points per game isn't going to win a whole lot of contests in the NBA these days. So I know that's got to be killing Brett Brown, because that was one of his goals for this year, was to improve the defense of the team. And so far that has not worked out. So I think that's going to be a key. And getting MCW and Nerlens, of course, back in there will help, but he's got a long road ahead. And boy, I don't know if Elliott's right that they're going to win 17 games. I'm still going to say 13 or 14.
Well, I'm just hoping for number one first.
Yeah,
they got a long way to go.
Yeah, tough schedule, as you said.
It is, and you know, you're just not going to get to play Orlando and Milwaukee and some of those teams, you know, enough times to gain a whole lot of wins. I don't know that they're going to get to 10 or 12 wins.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I think they're going to get on a little streak at some point where they not win a bunch of games in a row, but at least, you know, play well for a few weeks at a time and maybe get a couple or three wins in a row, and that would certainly go a long way. I don't want to see them challenge, you know, the all-time record, the 9-73 team from 42 years ago in Philly. I don't want to see that happen. I mean, it's tough enough when you're losing almost every night. You know, then if you're being compared to the worst team of all time, that's got to be a real downer for the guys and a real confidence non-booster, you know. So
yeah.
I hope that doesn't
happen.
I hope they win at least 10 games and get that out of the way before April.
I'm with you. I want them to do well, and I sure hope that it comes around, but they've got their hands full, no doubt. Well, hey, listen, last Saturday was Family Day at Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown. I know you had a chance to get over there, and you got your picture there with Carl that you had to rub into me. So how was it, and did you get to meet my favorite Eagle, Bill Berge?
Well, sadly, because I couldn't leave early enough, I got there about 10 minutes after Berge left. But from what Carl told me, they had a great turnout, and that Bill Berge couldn't have been nicer. I'll verify that, because I've met Bill three times previously. He is a great guy. Also a great guy is Carl, though. What a nice place he has, too. All sorts of collectibles, especially if you're a Philadelphia sports fan. Carl's got something for you at his shop in Havertown. What a great place, man. I told him I will be back in December. You're going to run down who he's got, but he's got three Eagles special teamers there in mid-December, and I'm going to try to get there for that one. But, yeah, great little store, and Carl's a great guy. Sorry I missed Bill Berge, but I'm glad I got out there. Real nice day to get out there to Havertown.
Yeah, I tell everybody, you know, that is somewhat of a collector, and especially a Philadelphia sports fan, if you want to be a kid in the candy store, go to Carl's Cards and Collectibles, because, like you say, it's not a huge store, but there's not one square inch that is not covered in something that's Philadelphia memorabilia from one of the sports. It's a cool store, and you can spend money there, man. It's a lot of fun, a lot of good stuff.
I need to win a few thousand dollars in the lottery, and that's going to be one of my first stops, Carl's place.
There you go. Well, it sounds like a great time. And as far as his upcoming signings, you know, he's going to have our old friend Ray Dittinger in the store here shortly. November 15th, he'll be signing and selling his New Eagles Encyclopedia, which you already have a copy of, Chet. That's a late afternoon signing from 3 to 5 p.m., so don't miss that. And great Christmas present. I know you can vouch for that.
That's this Saturday. Yeah, get out there and meet Ray. And I think the price is actually a little cheaper than what it normally is. I think they're selling it for $25 instead of $30. So you get it for $25 and you get to meet Ray and get an autograph. So that's a great deal.
Nice. All right. And the private signing for the Big E, Eric Lindros, coming up. The deadline to get your items to Carl's store is November 16th. So that's coming up as well. And I have sent my Lindros jersey to be signed and retired to my wall, Chet. And Carl told me today that he has it. It is in his hand. So I will have another collectible for the press box.
You've got to be running out of wall space by now, Bill.
I pretty much am. I pretty much am. We're going to have to start working in shifts or going by seasons or something.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out. He will have John LeClair in the store December 13th. And as you mentioned, he's made a new signing announcement just in time for Christmas. They'll be having John Dorivas, Cody Parkey, and Donnie Jones all in the store together on December the 21st, just in time for Christmas holidays. There might even be a visit from Santa, too, Chet. So if you get over there that day, you'll get to see three Eagles, and maybe you'll be able to get to see the real big man.
Yeah, that'll be great. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, by the way, if you haven't met John Dorenbos before, what a character he is. I mean, most people know that he's a part-time comedian, a part-time magician. What a fun guy. I met John at a fundraiser once at McFadden's, and, boy, he can entertain people. So I'm sure Dorenbos will be in rare form that day right before Christmas.
Great. Well, Carl does a great job, as you said, Chet, and he gets these guests in. And we hope people can support his efforts. They have a Facebook page and a website, so please check out all the signings for the costs and details, and support Carl's Cards and Collectibles any way that you can. Chet, we have about 30 seconds or so. Any closing remarks for you today?
Sunday can't come soon enough. I'm looking forward to this Eagles-Packers game like you cannot believe. I hope you do get to see it live, Bill. Again, my pick, Eagles by 3. Gosh, I hope I'm right.
I hope you're right, too. I'm going to find a way. You know, I'll find a way somehow. I'm going to get to see this and still meet all my other obligations as well. We'd like to thank Carl's Cards for their participation on the show. Our special guest, Elliot Shore Parks, as well as Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chachesco, this is Bill Furman, hoping you enjoyed the show. And we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday night, November 19th at 7 p.m., as we talk all things Philly sports. You can listen through our Facebook page at Philly Press Box Radio or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.